Amen. Amen. All right, let's get into it. Sit. I was in Erie, Kansas. I was in Erie, Kansas this summer with the Boundless Grace Tour Group, and they sang that song in the service that night. And I sat out there in the auditorium, and I watched the tour group as they sang and listened to them as they sang and heard Katie share her testimony. And I thought to myself that night how many years I had gone out on the road with tour groups. And this summer, I think, was my 18th summer traveling with tour groups. And I've had the opportunity of serving here at the college for 25 years. This is my 25th year at Hiles Anderson, my 23rd year on staff. And I sat and I listened to the tour group sing, as I did just a few moments ago, and heard that song, and I thought to myself, how does a Hiles Anderson College student go from standing up here on this platform and singing a song like I Made It Mine, or standing on their chair and waving their Bible when the preacher gets up to preach, or hollering and screaming, or being involved, or soul winning on a bus route, or bringing visitors to church? How does a Hiles Anderson College student go from that to not being in church at all? How does a Hiles Anderson College student go from preaching a sermon from the King James Bible to completely changing their standards, beliefs, and Bible just a few years after they leave here? How does that happen? Brother Toole's here today. I've been to his church several times in Alabama. 1993 graduate, right, Brother Toole? 30 years. 30 years from when he sat in the chairs that you're sitting in, as a student at Hiles Anderson College. How do you go 30 years and not change? How do you go 30 years and still preach from the King James Bible? How do you go 30 years and still believe in holiness and separation and standards and old-fashioned conservative music and soul winning? How do you go 30 years when the guy who's sitting next to you doesn't? Zane Turner's here. Some of you would know Zane. Zane graduated in 2017. Traveled on tour for our college, was in several of our plays and musicals, sang up here on this platform many times. How do you graduate with a class in 2017, and here in 2023, you're the administrator of an independent fundamental Baptist Christian school, when people who were in your class with you now don't attend church and don't read the Bible, and some don't even believe God exists? How does that happen? How do you go from sitting in the Evans Auditorium? I don't know, Brother Mitchell. I've tried to think through this, but perhaps other than the Jack Hiles Memorial Auditorium, 523 Sibley Street, there probably isn't a room anywhere in this world where more decisions have been made for Christ than this one in 50 years. How do you go from sitting in this room and kneeling at this altar? Of course, we redid our platform a couple years ago, but the old platform's still underneath here and the old altar's still underneath here. But how do you go from being a student at Hiles Anderson College and hearing the preaching and hearing the teaching and living the life and being the being involved in the way you all are? How do you go from that to turning your back on all of it in just a few short years? I think of David. David was born in Bethlehem. Does anybody know why David was born in Bethlehem? Because that's where his mother was, dummy. David was born in Bethlehem at a very young age, Brother King. He was the great-grandson of Ruth and Boaz, and you know the lineage of David. At approximately 15 years old, maybe 16 or 17, you know, once you get into some of those time frames, some of those dates can be debated, and I'm not here to debate the Old Testament timeline, but somewhere in the middle of David's teenage years, he was a shepherd out in the field, and David's brothers had gone off to battle, and his dad, Jesse, came and said, "Hey, David, I need you to go take this food to your brothers, and while you're there, take their pledge." So David did what his dad told him to do, and while he was there, he faced off against Goliath, and you know the story, and is there not a cause, and all that. David was a teenager when that happened. When he was about 16 or 17 years old, David was chosen to be king. In that private ceremony, you know the story. A few years later, he was about 20 years old. He had grown in influence with Saul and with his army armor. He was his armor bearer and his cup bearer and his chief musician for Saul. And about 20 years old, David became a military leader, and he grew his favor among the people, grew, and Saul began to view David as a threat when he was 20 years old. Sometime between the ages of 20 and 22 is when Saul sought to kill David. So David ran, he fled, and he spent about 2 years running away from Saul. When he was about 30, Saul died, he was killed, and Judah anointed David king of the tribe of Judah. So here's David. It's now about 15 years after he was anointed to be king and after he defeated Goliath and had walked with God and had been used by God and was anointed by God. And about 15 years later, David was anointed king over the tribe of Judah. The tribes were unified about age 35, and David became the king of all Israel. And his influence and his power and his reputation grew, and his relationship with the Lord grew for about 10 years. But how does somebody go from all of that, being anointed, being used, being trained by the prophets, being put in positions of leadership and authority, how does somebody go through all of that and then at age 45 sins with Bathsheba? How does that happen? Psalm 51 is where we're going to be this morning. I ask you to open your Bibles there. I think David gives us a little bit of an insight into how that happened in his life. If you read Psalm 51. Of course, this chapter is one that's pretty well known, and we won't take time this morning to read the whole chapter, but David wrote this chapter after Nathan the prophet called him out. David was now it was public that David had sinned and what he did with Bathsheba and when David was someplace where he wasn't supposed to be. It was a time when kings go off to battle, but David didn't go. He was someplace where he was not supposed to be when he wasn't supposed to be there. He should have been out in the battle leading the military where he was supposed to be, but he didn't. David was someplace where he was not supposed to be when he wasn't supposed to be there, with somebody he wasn't supposed to be with, doing something he wasn't supposed to do. How does that happen? How does a Hiles Anderson College student end up somewhere where they're not supposed to be, with somebody they're not supposed to be with, when they're not supposed to be there, doing something they're not supposed to do? How does a summer tour member, and in the 25 years I've been here working with tour groups for many of those years, how does somebody stand on this platform and sing a song like we just heard those kids sing a minute ago? And just a couple of years later, we find out, oh my soul, they were someplace they weren't supposed to be, doing something they weren't supposed to do, with somebody they weren't supposed to be with when they weren't supposed to be there. How do you get there? From Hiles Anderson College. How do you become somebody who is against Christianity or somebody who is transforming Christianity to a form of godliness or changing doctrine or changing Bible or changing beliefs or changing standards? How does that happen? Let's look at Psalm 51 and for a couple of minutes look at a few key words that David says in this psalm that shed a lot of light on how David got to where he was. Let's start here. Let's start in verse verse number 7. David says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from me, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." David uses three words in those verses that I think kind of give us a little bit of insight into how David got from where he was to where he was sitting that day. And I think in 2023, and as we consider where you are in your life right now, and what you're doing in your life right now, this can be flashing warning signs to you. Don't be, like Brother King said, casual Christians, quoting Pastor Wilkerson, become casualties. How does that happen? David said, create in me a clean heart. By definition, the word create means to cause something to come into being. So I don't know if maybe David was just going through the motions for all those 30 years, 25 years from when he was anointed king to the day that he sinned with Bathsheba. But he said, create in me a clean heart. Maybe David was faking it the whole time. Maybe David was just going along with what everybody thought he should do. He was signing the signature page at the back of the handbook because he had to. He was wearing the clothes because that's what they told him to wear. He was doing what he was supposed to do, but inside, his heart was filthy. He said, create in me. That means to cause something to come into being. Create in me a clean heart. That was number one. The second word David said, he said, renew a right spirit within me. Renew means to make new again. When we renewed or rehabbed this auditorium a couple years ago, it desperately needed it. Those of you who were here, you know, you remember, and this desperately needed it. The dining hall got a little bit of renewing this summer, and the lower hallways got some renewing this summer to make new again, to make them fresh, to make them new. Renew a right spirit within me. David said, my spirit, whatever it was, my spirit had gotten old. It had gotten stale. It had gotten sour. It had gotten wrong. It had gotten bad. My spirit was bad. My spirit got old. He said, create in me a clean heart. Give me a new heart because my heart was old and stale. Renew a right spirit within me because my spirit, whatever it was before, it got old. The third word he said was, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore means to bring back to a former state. How many of you remember the day you were saved? How happy you were and excited about that? I was a 10-year-old boy. April the 3rd, 1988, I was at Landmark Baptist Church in Haines City, Florida as a 10-year-old boy. Our junior church preacher that day was preaching junior church. His name was Vince Button. Vince was a big old guy from West Virginia. It was hard to understand anything he said most of the time because he talked like Daniel Rush and big, deep drawl, you know, big old guy. He was a Bible college student who was given his Sunday to preach in a junior church. And I could take you to the spot right now where as a 10-year-old boy, Brother Vince opened the Bible and he showed me from the Bible how I can know for sure I'd go to heaven. I remember how excited I was about that. And when I left church, I found my dad. And I remember running up to him in the parking lot after church and giving him a big hug and telling him I got saved. And the next Sunday I got baptized. I remember how excited I was about being saved. Do you remember how excited you were about being saved? David said, restore unto me, to bring back to a former state the joy of thy salvation. Three words David used: create, renew, restore. I don't know if what causes a Hiles Anderson College student to go from singing on this platform or sitting out there in those chairs to the state that we see some Hiles Anderson College former students and alumni in today. I don't know if maybe they're in the same boat David was in. Maybe their heart got old and they needed a new one. Maybe their spirit got bad because of circumstances that happened in their life. Maybe they got points that they felt like they didn't deserve. Maybe they got yelled at by a teacher or a faculty member or those mean old dorm supervisors that they didn't feel like they deserved. Maybe somebody hurt them or whatever and their spirit was injured. David's spirit was obviously injured here. He said, renew a right spirit within me. And he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. So David's, the joy of being saved, the joy of being Christian, got old to him. Where do you fit in that today? Where do you fit in that? You know, things get old. They just naturally do. The laws of science tell us that everything is in a constant state of decay. And if we don't work hard to keep it fresh and to keep it new, it's going to gradually decay. Hiles Anderson College is 52 years old. I can only think of, and Brother Mitchell, I did some study on this a couple years ago, one other Bible college in America, as old as Hiles Anderson College is, that hasn't changed where they stand and what they do. That hasn't changed their soul-winning emphasis, that hasn't changed their beliefs, that hasn't changed their standards, that hasn't changed their Bible, that hasn't changed their music, that hasn't changed their philosophy. I can only think of one other one. There's a lot of Bible colleges in America that are older than Hiles Anderson, or as old as Hiles Anderson, but I could only think of one after some study and research that still remains to be an independent Baptist conservative Bible college. Things get old. And if we didn't work hard to maintain the standards of Hiles Anderson College, they would slip. They would slip. Our First Baptist Church of Hammond is 135 years old, 136 years old. A church doesn't last 136 years and stay conservative by accident. Brother Toole's been out of college for 30 years. Brother Toole doesn't stay conservative and stay independent Baptist and stay fundamental and stay King James only by accident. That doesn't happen by accident. If we're not careful, young people, we will allow the things of God to get old to us. Things get old, though. Our clothes get old. Our clothes, the style of clothes get old. Hairstyles get old. Mine doesn't, bless God. I was thinking the other day, I saw a couple of the guys with the, you know, the big poofs on the top of their head. Slightly jealous, just a little bit. But when I was in high school, it was the girls who wore the big poofs on top of their head. And now the boys do it, and the girls comb their hair straight down and parted down the middle. Styles change, right? When I was in high school, it was the girls who wore makeup. Now it's the boys. Things change. Hey, listen, people get old. How many of you have a roommate? 27 days into college, your roommate's already getting old. Yeah. Their little habit, whatever it is. I walked through a couple of the residence hall rooms on Malone today and before chapel. Jace was giving me a tour and Justin was giving me a tour of some of their rooms over there. And I can imagine that being roommates with some of these people gets old after a while, right? People get old, roommates get old, jobs get old. How many of you work a job and you just work it because you have to and you hate it, right? I was last year, man, I don't have time to tell the story, but I'm going to tell it. Last year, I was out shopping for things for Harvest Night, which is coming up in just a few weeks. We'll start telling you about that soon, but I was out shopping for hay bales and corn stalks for Harvest Night last year. And I had gone to a farmer's market over here in Merrillville. And I was driving the pickup truck that the bus garage owns because I was picking up a bunch of stuff. And so I pulled into the parking lot, and it was kind of a busy afternoon. It was a warm day, actually. And I pulled into the parking lot, and there was a gentleman on a forklift who was moving some pallets around the parking lot there. And right in front of me was this little car. It was a little red car. And the guy in the car was just kind of being a little bit obnoxious. And the guy on the forklift was trying to move a big pile of pallets from one spot to the other, and the guy in the car pulled right up behind the forklift where he couldn't move. And every time the forklift would move forward, the guy in the car would move forward. And finally, the guy on the forklift had had enough of it. He got off the forklift, went over to the car, and started yelling at the guy in the car. Now, I couldn't understand a word he was saying. He was a Spanish man, and I couldn't understand what he was saying. Come to find out, listen, this is the true story now. I'm not preaching. I'm telling the truth. The guy driving the forklift was deaf. I'm going to tell you. And so he wasn't speaking any language. He was just yelling. But the guy in the car was giving this guy on the forklift a hard time. And so the guy on the forklift is trying to tell him to get out of the way, and the guy in the car wouldn't do it, and he kept getting closer and closer and closer. And so the guy goes around the car. The guy in the car backs up and runs into the guy. Not on the forklift, but like ran into him in the parking lot. The guy gets knocked over. He gets up off the ground, and he starts beating on the window of the car. He couldn't get him to open the window, so he grabbed the door handle, and he's ripping up on the door handle, rips the door handle off the car, throws it across the parking lot. There's a lady and her daughter getting in their car. It lands on top of their car. This little girl starts screaming. The lady's flipping out now. This guy, the deaf guy, is just yelling. Aah! You know, he's screaming. I'm thinking this dude's having a bad day at work. He's trying to open the door because there's going to be a fight right there in the parking lot. And I'm just sitting there thinking, what in the world is going on? So he picks up a rock and starts beating on the car and beating on the window of the car to get. I'm trying to call the police now because I don't want there to be this big, you know, somebody get hurt in the parking lot. This little lady from the inside the farmer's market comes out, and she's got a broom, and she's yelling and waving it. I was expecting her to take her chancla off and start beating him with it or something. The police came, but I'm thinking, man, this guy's having a bad day at work. Hopefully you don't have days like that at work. Sometimes in our office, you never know. But man, our job gets old sometimes, right? Buildings get old. People get old. But there's some things that don't get old. But if we're not careful, they'll get old to us. If we're not careful, the things of God will get old to us. When you think about that, you hold in your hand the Word of God for the English-speaking people. Forever, O Lord, thy words are settled in heaven. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The handbook tells you how to live at Hiles Anderson College. This handbook tells you how to live the rest of your life. Listen, we wouldn't need this handbook if we made this one ours. We wouldn't need rules in here that tell you you're not allowed to hold hands with your girlfriend or kiss your girlfriend if you really truly believe that it's good for a man not to touch a woman. We wouldn't need half the rules in our, we wouldn't need the child protection policy. We wouldn't need half the rules in that book if we would just make the Word of God ours. But what happens is we hear it so much, it's talked so much, it's preached so much, that pretty soon it gets old to us. It gets old to us. And when the Word of God gets old to us, we start looking for something to take its place. When my suit gets old, it hasn't yet, I can still button it, amen? But when my suit gets old, I got to find something else that fits me. And when your Bible gets old to you, you start looking for something else that fits you. Instead of you trying to fit the Bible. Don't let the Word of God get old to you. You get to hear preaching, most of you hear preaching 6 or 7 days a week. I don't know how many sermons you hear in a week. I would guess 10 or 12. Between chapel and division meetings and night bus and church and junior churches and every place and all the places that you work in the ministry, most of you hear preaching multiple times a week. And I'm telling you, young people, if you're not careful, the preaching of God's word will get old to you. And when it gets old to you, then you start looking for something that fits you. You start looking for something else. And if it's not broke, don't fix it. Don't let the preaching get old to you. Don't let chapel get old to you. Don't let the Bible get old to you. Don't let old hymns get old to you. Now, I'm all for new songs. We work hard in our music program to write new music and to prepare new music and to prepare young people to use new music. But I don't want to lose the feeling of the old rugged cross. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And when I survey the wondrous cross, and glory, I'm saved. And what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. And what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. And heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. And blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Come thou fount of every blessing. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. I'm telling you, if you're not careful, you're going to let the old-fashioned hymns get old to you. And then you're going to start looking for something else. Don't let the old hymns get hold to you. Don't let your Baptist faith get old to you. This may come as a surprise to you, but you're in a Baptist college. You're in a Baptist college. If you're just now figuring that out, maybe we need to talk. But don't let your Baptist faith get old to you. Faith is founded on the Word of God. Faith is founded on the beliefs of old time. Biblical authority, autonomy of the local church, the priesthood of the believer, two biblical offices in the church, individual soul liberty. Hallelujah for that, amen. Saved and baptized church membership, two biblical ordinances, and separation of church and state, B-A-P-T-I-S-T, Baptist. And if you're not careful, you're going to get enamored with something else if you let your Baptist faith get old to you. How do you work in the ministry for 30 years, Brother Toole, and stay independent Baptist? You don't let your Baptist faith get old to you. You don't let the Word of God get old to you. You don't let the preaching of God's Word get old to you. You don't let the old-fashioned hymns and singing get old to you. You don't let holiness get old to you. You don't let separation get old to you. You don't let modesty get old to you. By the way, modesty is not just covering. Modesty goes beyond just covering. I don't have time, 11:53. But here's what we do. Here's what we do. We let the things of God get old to us, and then we wonder why the guy sitting next to you right now in 5 years is a Neo wearing skinny jeans, flouting around with his boyfriend. You let the things of God get old to you, and you wonder why people who sang and preached on this platform get arrested for immoral and heinous and horrible things that they've done. How does that happen for a Hiles Anderson College student when the things of God get old to them? When the God's word gets old to them, when preaching gets old to them, when old-fashioned hymns get old to them, when holiness gets old to them, when separation and salvation, David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. When you forget about what God did for you and what God sacrificed for you and what Jesus did for you, when that gets old to you, you start looking for something new. Restore unto me. David used those three words. And I believe that they give us a little bit of insight on how you get from being the anointed king of Israel to falling into adultery with Bathsheba and murdering her husband. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. When the things of God get old to you, when they become routine, ho-hum, mundane, when they don't fit you anymore, when they wear out in your heart, in your life, and you start looking for something new, when you don't make them yours, when the Bible starts being my pastor's Bible, all my pastor preaches, when the music starts being not for you, when you stop letting the Word of God speak to your heart, when you stop letting the music speak to your heart, when you stop that personal relationship with God and it becomes all about, I go to a good church with a good pastor, and that's great, but it can't stop there. There has to come a day, like Katie said in her testimony a minute ago, there has to come a day, my friends, when you make it yours. You want to be in ministry for 30 years and not compromise and not change and not sway, swerve, or shipwreck? There has to be a day when it becomes yours. When the Word of God becomes my Bible, my love letter from the Lord, my instructions. There has to be a time when it becomes yours. There has to be a time when God stops being Pastor Wilkerson's God, stops being the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, stops being Jesse's God, stops being Brother King's God or whoever else's God, and he becomes your God. He becomes your Lord. He becomes your friend and your Abba, your father, your daddy. There has to be a day when he becomes yours, when you make him yours. Now listen, when you graduate from here, and however many years it takes you to graduate, I don't care if you follow this handbook. There's things in this handbook, Brother King, that aren't in the Bible. Dark is not in the Bible. T-shirts with whatever on the back of them is not in the Bible. Collared shirts are not in the Bible. When we get to heaven, we will not have to wear a tie or shave. I believe that. I don't care whether or not after you graduate or what you do, but there are some things that are in the Bible. And it's time for you to decide whether or not the Bible is going to be yours. And what you believe. Don't walk out of here saying, I believe this because Hiles Anderson believes it. Walk out of here saying, I believe it because the Bible says so and I believe it. And you decide what you believe. You get into God's word for yourself and figure it out. And you make it yours. You make it yours. So in a few years, you come back like a Zane Turner did today and as an administrator of a Christian school and interview people to come. And in 30 years, you come back like Brother Randy Toole is today, who's the pastor of a growing, soul-winning, evangelistic, on-fire, soul-winning Independent Baptist Church in Alabama. You come back here and we can say, you didn't change. You didn't swerve. Why? Because you made it yours. You made him yours. You made it yours. The Bible is your Bible. The Lord is your Lord. Your standards are your standards. Modesty is your modesty. Holiness is your holiness. Preaching is your preaching. Conservative music is your music. Believing in the Holy Spirit is your belief in your Holy Spirit. Make it yours today. How did David get from being anointed to falling with Bathsheba? Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. How does a Hiles Anderson College student get from kneeling at this altar or singing on this platform? Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Tour group's going to come back. I asked him to sing that song one more time. How do we go from Brother Snipes, altars where you can't move, full of people, to 27 days into college, and some of you haven't been to an altar one time. And I'm not criticizing, that's between you and God. I'm just saying, how do we go from packed altars and invitations to a few people spattered here and there when the things of God get old, when they become ho-hum, mundane, and routine? I'm asking you this morning to decide. I'm not going to let the things of God get old to me. I'm going to make God my God. I'm going to make the Bible my Bible. I'm going to make holiness, my separation, my standards, my beliefs, my convictions, my stand, and nobody's going to cause me to change. I'm asking you this morning to consider. Don't do it because I told you to consider whether or not he's worth it, whether or not it's worth it to make it yours. You stand with me. I'm going to pray. The tour group's going to sing. Father, bless this time of invitation. Bless our students. Help them. Speak to them. Move them. Convict them. In Jesus' name, amen.